Welcome to Wrestling with the Truth, the podcast for every pro wrestling fan. We've got heated debate, great guests, top 10 lists, reviews, previews, and so much more. And now here are your hosts, BC Hunter and the Nightmare, Jay Myers. All right, it is BC Hunter welcoming you to episode 77 of Wrestling with the Truth. I am here with my partner in crime, as usual, Jay Myers. Jay is really coming to bat here tonight because he just lost his power thanks to this beautiful hurricane that went through here this past week. So, Jay, we're going old school with this.
We are. I don't know how good or bad I sound, but this is the hurricane that will never end. So, yeah, if the weekend with O-Power wasn't good enough, now I'm back in the dark.
The cruelest part about it is that you actually had your power back and literally... This power went out during this episode, so this is what makes it funnier. So this is, folks, this is how committed Jay is to our podcast, that he's doing this on his data. But not only that, we have another special guest here, because our episode tonight is about some local wrestling scene, and we're going to be talking to Richard Boudreau, who owns Atlantic Pro Wrestling, and they're having their inaugural show coming up this Friday, September 30th at the Glooscap District Arena in Canning, Nova Scotia. And we want to bring Richard on for a chance to talk it up, talk about the card that's going to be happening on Friday, and give a little detail on Atlantic Pro Wrestling, because we think this is going to be a hot new product coming to the province. And we'd like to encourage a lot of people to go on out and support Atlantic Pro Wrestling for this debut show. So, Richard, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show. It's greatly appreciated.
No problem.
Thanks for being here, man.
We are big proponents of supporting indie wrestling.
Yeah, well, again, greatly appreciated, because I started Atlantic Pro Wrestling on March 1st this year, and just want to try and do my best to bring some really good indie wrestling to the Annapolis Valley of Nova Scotia.
For sure. Now, is Canning going to be the home base for you guys?
I think so, yeah. We're going to run some shows in Canning for the foreseeable future. And if the, you know, if the fan base is there, if we have a good turnout on every show in Canning, then I'll consider like moving to other parts of Nova Scotia.
Nice. And how's ticket sales been for you so far?
Been good. It's been picking up the last like probably month and a half. Ticket sales have really picked up a lot. So I've been really, really impressed overall with the fan support thus far.
Great. And just quickly, I'll mention to folks, if they want to purchase tickets, they can go on to Atlantic Pro Wrestling's website. It's www.atlanticprowrestling.ca/events if they want to purchase tickets. And from what I see from the website, very reasonable prices for this. Did you want to touch on that, Richard?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, well, I mean, as everyone here in Nova Scotia knows, we've been hit hard with COVID the last 2 years and the bull crap from that. So when I decided to start Atlantic Pro Wrestling, I wanted to have ticket prices that the average wrestling fan could afford. So I started off with, you know, very low prices, because I know that COVID has hit everyone very hard. Like, people have lost their jobs, you know, have had to go on the CERB and unemployment and whatnot, and money is not flowing as it used to be these past 2 years. So I want to try and give a good, fun product at a reasonable price.
For sure. No, and that's great. Awesome. That's noble, because I don't know what it is, but it seems like wrestling always seems to be like the binding agent when we have some different events going on. You know, you think back to, it was SmackDown was the first event after 9/11 and stuff like that. You know, usually wrestling is what you see go into places when people are looking for a little break from some of the craziness that life is. And here we go. We got Hurricane Fiona coming through, and it's you know, obviously caused a lot of damage and a lot of strife for people. And you know what, a good way to get back to normal is to head out to the wrestling on September 30th and then check out Atlantic Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I, you know, I hope that, you know, I sincerely hope that I can give a good pro wrestling product that the fans will enjoy. And, you know, I've got a ton of fantastic wrestlers, not just from Nova Scotia, but from New Brunswick and, you know, and the rest of the Maritimes. So I hope that, you know, the fans will come out and show their support.
So the plan is to go ahead as previous, Richard. There's no hurdles there with the book, with the arena or anything like that.
Nope, no hurdles. I met with the arena coordinator. What's today? Tuesday. Yesterday, and everything's a go there, so no issues there. I mean, obviously, you know, being a new promoter, had to overcome some hurdles when it comes to like the booking. You know, booking wrestlers. A lot of wrestlers have had to cancel, obviously, for personal reasons. So I've had to rebook and book new matches and whatnot. But I mean, that's part and parcel with being a promoter. I mean, these things happen all the time.
Well, I was just I'm curious because I was checking out the website there, which is a nice website, and was curious for you to sort of maybe highlight some of your how you got to this point. I mean, the history of where you were, and the Bleacher Report stuff, and then now to kind of being a promoter in the Maritimes. How does that work out?
I really can't. Well, I mean, I can't explain it to a certain degree, I suppose. I mean, you know, I was sitting back one day, you know, well, a couple months ago, you know, late February, early March, and I was watching, you know, WWE Network. I was watching classic episodes of WCW Nitro, you know, and I thought to myself, you know, I've always wanted to try and get in the wrestling game as a promoter, but, you know, for a long time, I neither had the money nor the time to do it. But now that I'm semi-retired and I'm doing much better now financially than I did, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, I decided that, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And another reason is because, you know, my dad was a huge professional wrestling fan. I mean, at least once a week, him and I would go to, you know, our local video store in City Mines, and we'd just rent whatever was available, like, you know, past WrestleMania, Survivor Series, SummerSlams, that sort of thing. And I wanted to do this in part for him because I know how much of a huge, you know, professional wrestling fan he was. Sadly, you know, he passed away in 2007, but I know that if he was still alive today, you know, at 82 years old, he would have made the trek, you know, even in Hurricane Fiona, all the craziness that's been going on there, he would have made the trek, you know, six hours down here to see the inaugural show. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And yeah, and as you say, this isn't your first foray in as far as been part of the Bleacher Report, been part of Pro Wrestling Slam. You mentioned that you were a figurehead president of NWA Atlantic Canada. So it's definitely, but I noticed just from scanning your roster, there's a lot of wrestlers that are from different promotions throughout Atlantic Canada. How have you found the relationships been with the other promotions as far as getting wrestlers to participate in this inaugural card for you?
Well, I think overall, I mean, I haven't had very much interaction with other promotions, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think on the indie scene, like especially in Nova Scotia, you know, the term independent contractor really hits home because, you know, I think a lot of wrestlers, they just have like a lot more free choice on who they can wrestle for and who they're loyal to and whatnot. I mean, from my experience so far, like, wrestlers want to work. They want to wrestle. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. If I've got, you know, if I have the promotion, if I have the money to, you know, for their booking fees and, you know, and if they see that my product is decent, I'm not another backyard shady huckster, yeah, then, you know, the response has been pretty overwhelming, to be honest, in terms of like the actual, you know, wrestlers themselves. I mean, and the support. So it's been really good so far.
That's fantastic.
Great stuff.
So for the card that's coming up, so it's been titled the Chase for the Championship, correct?
Yep.
All right. And this is the quarterfinals. So obviously we've got a tournament set up, which is, I always love a good tournament for a belt in professional wrestling. There's always lots of intrigue with that. So do you want to go over maybe some of the main matches that you have going on? I know the main event of the card is going to be Kofi Christ versus Wesley Pipes, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, yeah. So maybe some of the matches that are going to be happening this Friday.
Well, the tournament for the Chase for the Championship quarterfinals, you're going to have Kirk Aubé versus Ryan Riggs, the Maritime mm-hmm. Juggernaut Thad Howard versus Rick Owens. Dartmouth's own Greaser will take on Mark Thomas. And as you mentioned in the main event, Wesley Pipes versus Kobe Christ. Kobe, a lot of Maritimers know him. He's been in the game a really, really, really long time. And former Kaizen Pro Wrestling Champion as well. So he's got a, you know, got a taste for more gold. And this will be Wesley Pipes' first appearance in Nova Scotia in over 2 years. So, you know, if you're a fan of his work in the ring, Wesley Pipes, you know, he's a seasoned veteran. He's had several WWE tryouts. You know, he looks great on the poster. The guy can work. He can work with pretty much anyone. So if you're a fan of his work in the ring, definitely come out to Canning on the 30th to check that match out, because it's guaranteed you're going to get your money's worth with that.
Yeah, I quite enjoy Wesley's work through the years. He's been great. He's been in the city here quite a bit and over the years, and they're always a fan. So that's a good get for sure.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, a lot of fans have been getting a lot of feedback on social media, and you know, they have their favorites, obviously, like Thad Howard, Rick Owens, you know, Greaser, and Wesley Pipes, and Kobe, of course. And so, I mean, it's going to be interesting. And I wanted to have, you know, the classic tournament style, you know, to activate the APW championship. So, and you know, that's been very well received by the fans as well.
That's awesome.
For sure. Yeah. Jay's our local belt guy. And so he was checking out the championship belt, and I think you liked it, AJ.
I was quite impressed. Yeah. I was just going to say, you can't go wrong with the WrestleMania 4 style tournament, because the double VHS style style tournament, that's good stuff. Yeah. I was really impressed with the championship belt. Had a very spinner-esque feel to the main plate, the center plate there, but I love that it's custom. Richard, where'd you get the idea for that?
Well, actually, I reached out to a company out of Pakistan called Arm Belts, and the guy that designed my belt, he was, you know, very professional, very, you know, he consulted me on every step, every detail that I wanted, and, you know, I wanted to try and mix like a bit of old school with, you know, a little bit of new school with the championship title belt. And, you know, in my opinion, whether it's, you know, XYZ Wrestling and Pugwash Nova Scotia, or if it's WWE, like you have to have a title that accurately represents your promotion. And, you know, you want a title belt that wrestlers will actually be proud to hold.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's, regardless of whether it's a prop or not, as you hear sometimes said, it's an important prop, as it's the thing that these guys are all supposed to be chasing, right? It's the thing that these guys are all supposed to be working so hard to fight for. So it makes sense. It's got a. I'm not a fan of these, a lot of promotions who just slap something together or barely even thought about the belts, and they sort of stick their own logo on a pre-existing belt. I just think it's a bit lazy, in my opinion. If you care, you make your own belt.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I 100% agree with that. I mean, I've seen promotions all over the place, all over social media, and they grab, like, you know, a title belt, like the World Heavyweight Championship from WWE, and they'll put their logo on it. It's like, well, you know, you want to represent your own brand, then yeah, it costs a bit of money, but I mean, in the long run, it's worth it. And, you know, I remember back when, you know, we all used to watch Off the Record when Bret Hart, you know, was on with Michael Landsberg. You know, he said, yes, the championship title is a prop, but it represents, you know, it's given to the top guy in the company. And that's what every professional wrestling promotion should strive for. Like, whether it is a prop or not is irrelevant. That the title belt represents the top guy, the guy that puts asses in the seats, and the guy that sells tickets for your promotion. So,
yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, for sure. And it this is a very attractive looking belt, I gotta say. It represents the province very nicely, but it's also, you know, it'd be something that somebody would wear over the shoulder with pride, you know. So it's great. We'll make sure we put a picture of it up on our social media sites as well, so people can check it out. One thing I wanted to ask you, Richard, now being a wrestling promoter, wrestling owner now, you're seeing the backstage side of things and all the wheelings and dealings and things like that. Are you paying attention to some of the stuff that's going on right now in AEW?
Honestly, I gotta be honest, guys, like this is going to sound rather hypocritical of me being a professional wrestling promoter, but I haven't really watched any of the new product of wrestling. Like, I've honestly never seen any episode of AEW.
Okay.
The odd time I'll try to catch WWE, but I mean, I keep track of the promotions like AEW and WWE on social media, so I know what's going on, you know, and obviously I keep track of the dirt sheets, as they call it, and you know what they're reporting on in terms of, like, you know, what's going on backstage with AEW. And yeah, I mean, Tony Khan seems like a very interesting individual, like very eccentric, like from my perspective anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just your perspective. I think it's I'll keep it PG, but yeah, no, I mean, and listen, it's understandable that your focus is on your promotion right now. I think sort of what BC might have been alluding to is there's a lot of chicanery going on in the backstage that we hear about, where the locker room is seemingly has taken a plummet from when they started a few years ago to now, and it's seemingly chaos back there. But so how does one manage a locker room full of testosterone filled sort of guys,
egomaniacs,
but in a good way? But like, how does one manage that energy backstage?
I think the best way to handle it is to treat everyone backstage with respect, but at the same time, let the roster know, like, you know, whether you have an actual physical roster or, you know, you have guys just, you know, coming in once in a while, that, you know, the promoter is the boss, but you do it with respect, and you respect what they do in the ring, obviously, because without them, you don't have a promotion. So, I mean, that's a very, very loaded question that, you know, I think that's the best thing you can do. Just treat them with respect, hear what they have to say, be open to their ideas, because, you know, I'm new at this game. So, I mean, I booked all the matches myself starting out. But I've had guys come to me say, listen, you know, maybe you should do it this way. Maybe you should bring this guy in, you know, and I'm always open to suggestions. Right. But sure. On the other side of the coin, though, I've been told by people in the business, like, just go with your gut. You know, if it feels right in your gut, then just go with it. So.
Yeah. It's interesting to me how the thought process for you would come together on that, given it's your inaugural show. I'm assuming you know some of these guys and girls work through the other promotions, but how do you even sort of put a pulse on who? I am just intrigued to know how that booking concept would go in your head when you don't have sort of any history within this promotion to sort of build from. Is it just going with sort of a feel, like you said, or are you just going on guys and girls work in the territory before that? Like, how does that look when you're trying to decide on future?
Well, I mean,
plans?
I did a lot of, like, you know, tape research, as they used to call it back in the day. Like, I would watch, you know, guys' matches if I had an interest in a specific wrestler, like Thad Howard, for example. I watched his matches. Like, I watched like 10 or 12 of his matches. Then I would watch guys like Greaser and Kirk Abe, Kobe Christ. I mean, I've seen Kobe wrestle several times at the last couple of months at Kaizen shows. I mean, he's a, you know, phenomenal wrestler as well. So, I mean, I just study the tapes basically and, you know, see what their strengths and weaknesses are, like if they would do well with another wrestler. And part of that is feedback from other wrestlers. Like, you know, like guys will come to me and say, yeah, I've worked with this guy in the past. He's great. So, you know, sometimes I'll go with that with their recommendations as well. So, but for the most part, it's just been, you know, in my gut, like, I think this would be a good match. Like Wesley Pipes and Kobe Christ, for example, those guys have never met in a ring ever. So,
wow, that's kinda cool.
I think, yeah, I mean, so that's like, not only, you know, is it Wesley's first appearance in Nova Scotia in over 2 years, but this will be a match that no other wrestling fan in the Maritimes has seen before. So this is brand new and it's only in Atlantic Pro Wrestling. So, I mean, for $15, like, you can't even really get like a regular meal at McDonald's for $15. So,
I mean, that's actually saying a lot, Richard, that you can actually pull off a match that hasn't been seen in the Maritimes. Cause, you know, this is, I know it sounds bad, but this region is very incestual as far as all the different guys going back and forth through promotions. So that's pretty cool that you're able to, in your first event, come up with a main event that hasn't been seen before.
Yeah. I mean, like it came about pure luck, I guess, and pure booking on my end. So, I mean, I think overall, I did pretty good with the booking in terms of, you know, pairing the guys up, and hopefully, you know, all the matches on the card will enthrall the fans, and they'll, you know, I sincerely hope that they get their money's worth.
Oh, I think they will, for sure, looking at that card. I was going to mention too, now you mentioned it earlier, you've had to make a few changes to the lineup. Just obviously we live in the day and age of COVID and travel stuff and all that. And I mean, there's a lot going on where it's kind of, as we say in wrestling, card subject to change, but how have you managed to move on the fly? Cause it seems like you, as soon as one obstacle came up, you were ready right away to change it up and fill it in with just as good a match.
Yeah. I mean, like that's, like I said earlier, you know, it's been a hurdle, like having guys and girls, females that, you know, have had to pull out for personal reasons. And as soon as they've told me that, and I'll be like, okay, you know, no worries. Understandable. So I've just been on, you know, I just get right back on social media, like trying to find a suitable replacement. And in some cases I've had guys come to me, say, listen, you should bring this guy in. He's really good. You know, I've worked with him. So, I mean, like it's been luck on that end, and it's been just, you know, luck basically is what I can say. Right. I mean, you know, because a lot of promoters have a, you know, hard time rebooking matches because if they want a specific wrestler, he or she may not be available. So, I mean, you just got to it's like in football when they call an audible, right? You just got to go, you know, go with it.
That's correct. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
fair enough. So I'm intrigued. So currently it's Atlantic Pro Wrestling, and the logo is our beautiful province of Nova Scotia. But does that title and that name of the promotion imply that there's your vision is to sort of go throughout the Atlantic provinces, or is that just sort of catchy name kind of thing?
Well, I mean, in theory, you know, I've had some pushback from people on social media, like classic wrestling trolls that said, like, why are you calling Atlantic Pro Wrestling when it's just Nova Scotia? I mean, yeah, I can see that person's point to a certain extent, but at the same time, I mean, like Nova Scotia is in the Atlantic provinces, and yes,
don't listen to anybody on the internet. That's your first issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I think wrestling fans and Star Wars fans, I think, are the most toxic fans on the internet. Bar none. But
don't forget horror fans. I'm all three of those.
I think eventually, though, like if, like I said, if the cards and canon go well, if there's a good fan response, then eventually, yes, I would like to branch out into other provinces like PEI or maybe even Newfoundland or New Brunswick, and just, you know, in part and parcel, like one of the reasons why I called Atlantic Pro Wrestling because I wanted, you know, a bit of old school flavor to it. You know, I remember going to see Grand Prix Wrestling when I was a kid with my dad, so I kind of wanted to have that, you know, Atlantic Nova Scotia feel to it, right? So another reason why I called it that.
No, it's great. It works.
And plus, I mean, the roster itself, they're from all over Atlantic Canada too, as well as other areas of Canada. So it fits for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like Atlantic Pro Wrestling, you know, it's representation of fantastic wrestlers, not just from Nova Scotia, but from all over the Maritimes. So, I mean, and, you know, that's not to say that I'm not open to booking wrestlers from other parts of Canada or even, you know, other parts of the world. Right. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that'll come in time.
Sure. Now, obviously this is the quarterfinals in the chase for the championship. So that would imply that we've already got plans for another show after this one, correct?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, obviously we'll have to crown a new APW champion. So, yep. After the show in September, I'm still on the fence about whether to have a show in November or wait till January, because my initial plan was to run three shows per year. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, I said earlier that I'm in much better shape financially. However, I still got bills to pay. I still got mouths to feed. So, I mean, you know, I don't want to bankrupt myself, you know, for this venture. Right. So, depending on how the show goes, and if it's a big success financially, then, you know, I may run more shows more often throughout the year. So, but for now, I'm looking either maybe the last Friday in November or wait till January, but I'll have to wait and see.
Right on. And I'm sure the arena itself will be excited if they see a turnout for this one. They'll be more than happy to have you back, I imagine.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the last time wrestling came to Canning was way back in 2017, and that was with UCW. So, I mean, it's been 5 years since pro wrestling has come to Canning. So, and like I said earlier, the response, you know, from around the Annapolis Valley area has been very, very, very positive. I did an interview with Rewind's 89.3's Darren Harvey last week, and they've been pushing the show as well. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think that's saying something, because, you know, there are a lot of passionate wrestling fans here in the Valley area. And I think it'll be very interesting to see the turnout, you know, Friday night.
Sure. And wrestling's a hot ticket right now.
It absolutely is. I mean, especially the past 2 years, you know, with COVID, yep, people were basically hermits and had nothing to do but to watch TV, right? So I think overall, the product of professional wrestling has had more eyeballs on it. So, I mean, even if they're just watching WWE or AEW, you know, it's still fans that weren't watching for a long time, and COVID hit and all of a sudden, hey, wrestling's on, I'm going to watch it. So.
No, absolutely. So you mentioned, Richard, you're not watching much of the current product, but how would you say your booking style is going to be? Is it going to be sort of classic feel to these matches? Are you letting the guys and girls call it in the ring? Like, is there a feel you want to have to this product? Is there a sort of a, in that, I mean, like, sort of, I guess in today's local indie, it's kind of all over the place. You'll have a lot of kind of spot matches. You'll have maybe some old school style matches. Like, what's your preference, or do you have one, or are you just sort of letting it fly?
I think I'm just going to let it fly. I mean, basically, like, you know, in 2022, I mean, I think, like, there's a lot of, obviously there's a ton of different styles than what there used to be, you know, 25, 30 years ago. So, I mean, like, as long as whoever's wrestling for APW, as long as they give it, you know, 100, 110% and give the fans their money's worth, then that's really my only prerequisite. I mean, if they're a good worker, you know, if they're easy to get along with, there's no backstage bullshit, then, you know, they're more than welcome to wrestle for APW. So
that's awesome.
And I should mention, I'm assuming this is a family friendly all ages show.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. So, I mean, bring your kids. The ticket prices are $10 for kids 12 and under. So, I mean, it's a family friendly product. Going to be some good professional wrestling. So, I mean, the you know, I think the kids will definitely enjoy it as well.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, watch them at the events around here. They get pretty excited for these shows.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, like, the couple of Kaizen shows that I've been to, like, there were tons of kids in the audience and everyone had their favorites, you know, like Kobe Christ, obviously, you know, Remy Petit, those guys, you know. So, I mean, like, kids really, really get into, I mean, we were all kids once, obviously, and we had our fan favorites, right? I mean, mine was Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, and, you know, my dad was Ultimate Warrior fan. So, I mean, you know, like, I think the kids will really enjoy it. And, you know, I really hope they do.
Yeah, that's. I think we're probably all around the same generation. It's funny you mentioned that, Richard. You can't see, but I have a picture of Hogan and Savage together on my back wall here. So I'm with you on that. So good choice on those guys.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely.
So now I'm going to put you on the spot. I know you're supposed to be non-biased, but what do you got? Any predictions for this tournament? Is there anybody that you see as the front runner right now?
I don't know. That's a tough one, because, you know, everybody involved in the tournament, you know, they're all seasoned veterans and they're all phenomenal wrestlers. But I don't know. I mean, I can, you know, roll the dice and say that, you know, Kobe Christ might be the front runner. I mean, he's former Kaizen pro wrestling champion, phenomenal worker, Wesley Pipes. I mean, I don't know if I can pick, a favorite or, you know, a front runner, to be honest, because everybody on the roster You know, it's you know, could be a wild card. It could be, you know, I don't know. Like I said, Tolvi, maybe, you know, Wesley Pipes, definitely up there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really hard to say at this point.
What about you, Jay? You look at that lineup. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's there's a couple guys that I haven't been exposed to before, so I'd be kind of interested in that. It's a good mix, man. I like yeah. like Kirk Obey's. I love his work.
Yeah.
Greaser obviously is a great character worker. I do like Pipes. I think he's a legit badass when you want him to be. So I mean it's a bit of a what do they call it? Toss. What is it? Toss up.
Yeah.
Toss up. Yeah. I mean, like, I really do like Kirk Obey, and so I wouldn't mind seeing him. I haven't watched him since the old Wrestle Center day, so that was kind of cool to see him back working in the province. So yeah, and there's just a lot of guys I've never seen, so I'd be intrigued overall.
Yeah, I mean, there's
pick him. That's what
pick him. There you go. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And this is kind of like the comeback story for Kirk Obey, by the way, because he was almost retired there. But I'm impressed with these matchups to start off with. You got some real favorites in the first round going against each other there, Richard. I mean, you pulled no punches with these opening round matchups. But my heart is with Greaser because I just love Greaser. But I'm thinking whoever wins the Pipes Christ match might be the favorite in this one because I'll tell you, that's going to be one hell of a main event for sure.
Absolutely. You know, and like I said, I hope the fans get their money's worth with just that match. And obviously, you know, that's the match that, you know, this is going to sound bad, but no disrespect to the other matches. But obviously, you know, when you're a wrestling fan, like the main event is what you came to see. I mean, WrestleMania 3. You know, Savage Steamboat, that was definitely arguably the greatest match in professional wrestling history or WWE history. But at the end of the day, fans, you know, 93,000 fans packed the Pontiac Silverdome to see Hogan Andre, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, this main event, like I said, first time ever, these two stepping in the ring against each other. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. I mean, Wesley Pipes, he's got that, you know, strong bruiser style, you know, he's a big dude, Colby, technical. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see those two styles and how they, you know, how they coexist in the ring, you know, on Friday night.
For sure. Jay, anything else that you wanted to ask Richard before we let him get going so his phone doesn't go dead here?
No, I mean, I guess you've already touched on it, Richard, and I think we got a good kind of, you shed some good light on where you see this thing going, but I guess ultimately you do see this thing as sort of a long-term venture and you want it to grow. So I guess what's your 5-year plan, I guess, if you had to sort of fill us in on sort of what your vision is for APW going forward.
Well, I think my overall vision, 5-year plan is to obviously make a profit. That's number one. But to have like I said earlier, it's just a good professional wrestling product that people will enjoy. And when they come, you know, when they come to shows, they'll enjoy themselves. And even if it's the casual fan or the hardcore fan, or even new fans that, you know, never watched professional wrestling, you know, hopefully they'll come to, you know, one of my shows, they'll walk out and say, hey, that was awesome. You know, I like to check these guys out again sometime. So, I mean, I think long-term would just to have a consistently good product that, you know, fans will like and they'll pay for and to come see.
No, yep. That's great. I mean, the more the merrier, right? That's my take is we should never have too much professional wrestling.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like I've received some pushback from people saying like, you know, another professional wrestling promotion in Nova Scotia, like there's already, you know, 10 or 20 of them, or I don't even know how many, like, but I mean, I think, like you said, the more the merrier, more is better because it's more eyes on the overall product of professional wrestling. And if it's a good product, then, like I said, fans are going to buy tickets to come see it.
Yep, absolutely. It speaks for itself.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Richard, I'll do the hard sell for you here. So once again, September 30th at the Glooskap Arena in Canning, Nova Scotia, Atlantic Pro Wrestling's inaugural event, the Chase for the Championship quarterfinals. So if you want tickets, head on over to their website. It's atlanticprowrestling.ca. Actually, and by the way, check out the website anyways, because you've done a great job. I'll give you credit on this too, Richard, because obviously, like you mentioned before, there's been a lot of changes you had to do, everything beyond your control, of course, but you've done a great job of updating people on that website so they know what's happening, some of the changes that have been to the matches. You've got the roster on there. You've got everything that they need. So head on over to the events page and get your tickets for this event. I think it's going to be a really good one. That, like I say, the main event is a main event anywhere is here in the Atlantic Canada, but also the undercard is looking just as strong as well. So anywhere else that people can find you as well, Richard?
Yep. You can find APW. We're on the all social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Instagram. Check out our official Facebook page as well. And check out our official YouTube channel. I've been starting to pump out some guys. I've had some awesome promo videos hyping their matches up for Friday. So check out our official YouTube channel as well. So, yeah, I mean, we're everywhere. So definitely check us out, and definitely check out AtlanticProWrestling.ca. And advanced tickets will be on sale until Friday morning at 10 a.m. So if you guys want to skip the line, wrestling fans, you know, want to skip the line, just go and get your advanced tickets now before they're gone.
Perfect. All right, Richard. Thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate this. Everybody's trying to get over this whole Hurricane Fiona thing. So I appreciate both yourself and Jay for calling in and going the distance for us on this episode. But we wish you all the luck in the world with this promotion. We're excited to hear about it. And we're excited that there's more wrestling for local fans. So everybody that's got ears on this product, make sure you go out there and support Atlantic Pro Wrestling. Make sure you help keep wrestling alive in Atlantic Canada.
Awesome. Thanks very much for having me, guys. It's greatly appreciated.
No problem at all. All right. Yeah. Now I'm going to say for myself, BC Hunter, and for the Nightmare Jay Myers, and for Richard Boudreau, we are out of here.
Blackout.